Thank you, Delia. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. It's where we're going to be back again this morning. We're in week 2 of a series that we started last week that we're calling It's a GN Christmas. And again, we want to encourage you, those of you on social media, we have a lot of fun with that. We think if the world can use it, that God can use it, and we can use it. And so we want to encourage you, if you have pictures this year of Christmas or the holidays that you post on social media anyway, hashtag that GN Christmas, hashtag GN Christmas, and we'll all get to sharing those with you. And then we're going to put together a little slideshow of some of your favorite memories here in a few weeks, if you'll do that for us. But what we're doing is we approach this Christmas season and we focus in on what God wants to speak into our hearts. What we're doing here is focusing on who Jesus is as our Savior, who He came to be. And my prayer has been in preparing for this and getting ready for us to enter into this Christmas season, that we would come to know Jesus in such a better way, that we would come to know Him closer. Because here's what I know: the better we know Jesus, the more we'll want to worship Him. Because once you know what Jesus has done for you, and once you know what Jesus is doing for you right now, what He's done in the past, what He's doing today, and what He's going to do in the future, if you can't praise Him, you've got issues, right? And so my desire is that through this Christmas season, maybe you will come to know Him better and you will want to worship Him more. Because, there's room for improvement in our worship. And I'll just say that in all of our lives, we should be more worshipful. Our lives should be filled with worship for what He's done. And last week, for those of you that were here, we saw what Scripture said to us about lifting our hands in worship. And if you missed last week, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it. Because we talked about, what the Bible says about lifting holy hands to God and what it means and what it accomplishes when we do that. So if you missed that, go back and you can grab it on our podcast or website or wherever. But today I want to talk to you about something else that is a very, very powerful way to worship God, and that is bringing our gifts before God as an act of worship. And we're going to pick up where we started last week, the Christmas story, as it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. God's Word says this in verse 1 and 2. Says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, says Magi, and this is talking about the wise men that you've always heard about. The wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Where is the one that we've been anticipating all these years? We saw His star when it rose, and we have come to what? We have come to worship Him. Don't miss this. The reason that they came was to worship Jesus. They didn't come to get something from Him. They didn't come to ask something of Him. They came to worship Him. Now, some of you may know the story. You may know the history of the story. But King Herod, that's mentioned here in our scriptures, he's a bad guy, okay? He's a very, very evil king. And so naturally, when he hears this news that there's been another king born, he's not too fond of the news, right? He's not too thrilled about this. He sees it as a threat to his power, a threat to his reign. And so he kind of lies here in the story, and he tells the wise men, he said, hey guys, whenever you go and you find out where he is, shoot me a text message, give me a phone call, whatever, send a camel back, but you let me know where he is, because I want to come worship him too. I want to be able to come and worship this king. And so let's skip down to verse number 9 now. Verse 9 and 10 say this: after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So they saw the star, and they followed it. And we read this one little verse, and we see it recorded in the Christmas story, and the Christmas plays and all that. And I don't believe we fully understand the magnitude of what these wise men did. We just get this picture of, oh, there's a star, and the wise men go to the star, and there was a child. But I don't think we fully grasp and understand exactly what took place here. They actually traveled from a place that we know today as Iran, is actually where they began their journey. And they traveled all the way to where Jesus was. And folks, that's about 900 miles. All right? 900 miles. I just want to give you some context here to kind of grasp how far they traveled. That would be like us going from here today to North Dakota. All right? This is how far they traveled. And they didn't have trains, planes, or automobiles. Okay? They didn't have any of that. They didn't even have skateboards, or hoverboards or any of that. So this was a long, don't miss this, this was a long journey. This would have been a long, hard, painful journey that they made to do what? To worship. And some of you complain because you can't park close enough to the front door. They went 900 miles to worship their Lord and Savior, right? And then verse 10 shows us when they saw the star, what were they? You can't even read it. They were what? They were overjoyed. The King James Version says that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were overjoyed to worship. They weren't just pleased. They weren't obligated. They weren't just happy about it. They had great joy. They were overjoyed because for years and years they had hoped that one day there would be a child that would be born that would save them from their sins. They got it. They understood it. And they were overjoyed. And so from the depths of their heart, they had this great joy that there was a Messiah, that there was a Savior. But here's the problem with a lot of Christians today. They're underjoyed. They're underjoyed. And Christians of all people ought to be the most overjoyed people around, shouldn't we? A few of you agree. Some of you maybe not so much, but instead, so many Christians today that we see and talk to are underjoyed. And if you think about it, it makes no sense at all. It's absolutely crazy to think about the fact that a God who loved us and did something for us that we couldn't earn, and he did something for us that we don't deserve, the fact that anyone would be sitting around with a sourpuss Christian look on their face is absolutely crazy to me, all right? It just is. I mean, to come and worship like you're mad you had to come, right? We come to worship and we nitpick everything apart. We find fault. Some of you find fault in some of the craziest things. And I'm just like, they were overjoyed. Turn your frown upside down. You know, you listen, if you're overjoyed, would you please tell your face, all right? Because, you know, show it. Let other people around you know you have a reason to be happy. You have a reason to have joy. They were overjoyed as a follower of Jesus. We should be more full of joy than anybody else in this world. We ought to be the ones ringing the bells on Christmas Day. I mean, we ought to be shouting from the rooftops what he has done and what he is doing and what he's going to do. And you know what? Life is bad. Life is tough. There are hard days. There are bad days. But it doesn't matter how bad it gets. You have a promise of eternity in heaven. Now beat that, right? We should be overjoyed with the hope that we have. We have God with us now. Not only do we have the hope of eternity and heaven, but we've got God with us now. A God who is working in all things, bad or not, he's working in all things to bring about good for those who love him. We have a God who is greater. We have a God who is ever present. We have a God who is all knowing and all powerful. Don't you dare live your life underjoyed. Don't you dare live your life underjoyed. You smile. You clap your hands. You raise your hands. You worship. Be fun to be around. Some of you don't want to be around you. Some of us don't want to be around you. All right? Let me just say that. Be fun to be around. Jesus was fun to be around, okay? People, thousands and multitudes of people wouldn't follow somebody that wasn't fun to be around. I'm telling you. Be fun to be around. Hey, listen, be known for what you're for and not what you're against. Be known what you're for and instead of what you're against. When people see a Christian, they should say, that's one of the happiest people I've ever met. That they're happy. Why? Because we are overjoyed because, folks, we have a Savior. We have a Savior. We have great joy because we have Jesus. They traveled 900 miles to worship. And they couldn't wait to worship Him. So then what did they do? Well, verse 11 says this. On coming to the house, and David made a great observation following the early service today. He said, you know, it took them a long time to travel 900 miles. Yeah, Jesus was probably 2 or 3 years old by the time they got there. Actually, so he wasn't in the stable anymore. So it says here, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they did what? All right, we're coming back to this next week. They bowed down and worshiped him. They worshiped him. Now, how did they worship? Don't miss this. Scripture says they did what? They worshiped him, and then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right, they were overjoyed to bow down and worship the king and to bring him gifts to the one that would save him. They were overjoyed to give. They didn't give underjoyed. They weren't upset that they had to give. They weren't upset that they got to give. You know, I remember a few years back, one of my favorite memories. The boys were at college up at the U of A. They come home one weekend. That's about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. I don't remember. They came home for Father's Day. We won't mention the fact that last year they didn't come home for Mother's Day. That's a whole different story that they get reminded of a lot at our house, that they came home for Father's Day but not Mother's Day. Kind of a touchy subject. But they came home for Father's Day. And so I remember how excited they were. They came home and they were so excited. They couldn't wait to give me the gift that they had gotten me for Father's Day. And it was something, they knew it was something that I had wanted for a very, very long time. And they had gotten it for me and they couldn't wait to give it to me. And it was a Red Ryder BB gun. Okay? I'd never had one. I mean, I was raised in the ghetto. We threw rocks, right? We didn't do BB guns. In the ghetto, you do like 9mm or a knife, and don't bring a knife to a gunfight. And so I never had a Red Ryder BB gun. And so they got me this, and you know, they were so excited when they gave it to me. They'd even tried it out before they gave it to me to make sure it worked. But they were so excited to give it to me, and it was really special. You know, and when they brought me that, they didn't go, well, Dad, you know, we like you, and, you know, they told us in Sunday school that we had to give you something for Father's Day, and so, you know, here you go. I'd rather keep it for myself. I'd rather have it myself, but, you know, since they told us to, you know, here it is. No, it wasn't like that. It was this sense of joy of going, we love you. We want to do something special for you. We know the kind of joy that this will bring to you. And they were excited to be able to bring me that and to give me that. And listen, that's what the wise men did. They gave out of the joy of knowing. They worshiped him and they were overjoyed to bring their gifts and their treasures as an act of worship. They opened up the best of what they had. All right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they gave it to Jesus. And some of you are beginning to pick up what I'm laying down and where I'm going this morning, right? But this is so important in our worship of Jesus as an act of worship. We bring our gifts and we give. Last week, we talked about lifting holy hands in worship. Next week, we're going to talk about kneeling our knees in worship and bowing down. On Christmas Day, we're going to have a really, really special time of Christmas communion together. And we're going to talk about pouring our hearts out as we worship the King. But today is an act of worship. We're going to see that giving and bringing your gifts is an act of worship. And some of you are sitting there thinking, oh no, Steve, I've brought guests, we have visitors. You know, why in the world are you preaching on tithing this morning or preaching on giving? Well, I'm going to just tell you, I don't like to preach on tithing and giving. I really don't. And funny story. There's a guy that I've made friends with. He lives around Hot Springs somewhere. I actually don't even know where he lives, but he follows me on Facebook, and he listens to some of my messages. And so we've kind of developed a relationship talking back and forth. And he's always inviting people to come to our church. He don't even live here. He don't go to our church. And he knows anybody that lives around this area. And he says, man, you got to go to the Nazarene Church. You need to go visit the Nazarene Church, yada, yada. So he sends me a message last night and said, hey, you know, I got a buddy that may be coming. And if you're here today, hey, it's great to have you, man. I don't know you, but come introduce yourself after it's over. And he said, got a buddy that'll probably be at your church tomorrow. And I said, no, Evan, no. He's like, what? And I said, I'm preaching on tithing tomorrow. And he said, again? And I was like, I don't preach on tithing, hardly ever. If I bring it up or God puts that in your mind, that, you know, that's you. But anyway, what we want to do is, and we want to take the Christmas story and we want to take the good feel-good stuff out of it that we like and makes us feel good, and we want to focus on that. But we can't just look over the parts we don't want to see. And a huge part of this story is the giving of the gifts to worship a Savior. And I get it, and I understand it. You know, it's Christmas time and you've got to buy, you know, you've got gifts to buy and you've got all these bills. Listen, I get it. I get it, but I also understand the blessings that we receive when we worship our Savior by giving. I get that. I talk to far too many people who are so blessed because they get to give and they love to give and how generous they are. Yeah, we had a memorial service yesterday here for Joe C., and a lot of you didn't know Joe. Joe had been in a nursing home almost 6 years. But to hear the stories told and shared about a life that was so generous, and he loved to be generous, and he loved to give, and he loved to help other people, and he loved to serve in the church. Folks, when people understand what the Savior did for them, they're going to want to give. And they're going to want to give back, and they're going to want to love on other people. And I understand the blessings that we receive when we worship and we're generous with our gifts in worship. And I don't want you to be uncomfortable, all right? I don't want you to be uncomfortable when you read Scripture that talks about giving, okay? I don't want you to be that. I want you to be able to experience the blessings of worshiping our God through giving. And if you don't love giving now, I pray that you will learn to love to give, that you will start planning to give and be overjoyed to give to God, who, by the way, gave everything to you. He gave everything for you and to you. Because here's the deal, folks. When you love someone, when you truly love someone, you are overjoyed to give to them, all right? And I love to give my wife, Lynette, gifts. You can ask her. She has to be real careful about what she says she wants, right? Because we'll be walking through a store and she'll be like, oh, that's cute, I'd love to have that. And she'll, like, when she turns her head, I just take a picture of it, you know? And that's how I roll. So she has to be real careful. But I've never heard her say that she wanted anything that she didn't get it. Except one thing. She's been saying for years she wants a camper. And I just can't imagine having a camper set in your yard year-round and using it once a year. I just can't fathom that. Hampton Inn is awesome and a great place to stay. But, you know, the reason is I love her and I want her to know I love her. And so I want to give her things that I know will make her happy. I want to show her my love by giving her gifts. Unlike when I was dating, you know, and dating that girl that you really wasn't crazy about, so I broke up with her on February 12th, right? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you did that. Don't judge me. You've all done it. You know it. Yeah. And the reason you did that, and the reason is because you really wasn't that crazy about the girl, right? You didn't want to give her something. You didn't want to spend money on her because you really wasn't that crazy about her after all. And And maybe you didn't do that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a horrible person. Judge me. I don't care. But seriously, here's the deal. Love gives, does it not? Love gives. What's one of the most well-known verses in all the Bible? Even if you're here today and you've never been in church and you're not a Christian, you probably know John 3:16, right? It says, you know, for God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave. He gave. Why did he give? Because he so loved the world. He gave. For God so loved the world that he gave not gold, not frankincense, and not myrrh, but his only son. He gave his son. That's how much he loves us, because, folks, love gives. And God looked at creation and he looked at us and he realized that we were separated from him by sin. And the only way that could be reconciled, the only way that that could be made right and we could be made right with him, is if someone innocent would die in our place. Someone without sin. So on Christmas Day, he became flesh among us through this baby. He became flesh among us through his son and in the person of Jesus. And he lived the perfect life. And then he died. And then he rose again. So that anyone who places their faith in him can be saved. Love gives. Love gives. That's what God does. When you love, you can see it in the lives of people who love you. You can see it because love gives. In fact, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, but God does what? He demonstrates. What does that mean? He shows his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you and for me. God didn't look down from heaven and shout, I love you, you know? He didn't just scream it from the mountaintops. He showed his love to us here on this earth. He gave his son to die for us because love gives. And I'm sure that as we talk about this, some of you probably are going, well, Steve, I love God, but you know what? Giving is hard for me. You know, I'd like to give, but I'm strapped. You know, I just can't make it work. I just don't have anything left to give. And I understand that way of thinking, folks. Been there, done that, right? I understand that. I can understand that thinking. You know what? I would love to give, but I'm afraid. Or I would love to give, but I'm hesitant. Or I would love to give, but I'm reluctant to give. I want to read you something out of the Old Testament, out of Proverbs chapter 3. This is a very popular passage of scripture. All right, it's probably familiar to most of you here. I actually used this when I spoke to our teens last weekend at their teen retreat. A powerful passage. But I want to pick it up starting in verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Now, that's probably familiar to a lot of you, right? Basically, it says trust in God. Don't lean into your own ability to understand, okay? Don't do that. Trust in him, not in what you think. It's what this scripture's saying. But we often stop there. We stop right there. It's a great passage of scripture, but we often stop there and don't go any further. But let's read a little further this morning. Verse 7 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes, okay? In other words, don't try to figure it out. There's higher ways than our ways. There's higher thoughts than our thoughts. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, in the context of what Solomon is saying here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on what you think or your own understanding. Solomon goes on to say this in verse 9 and 10. He says, honor the Lord. And this word honor here means to worship, okay? It means to adore or to praise. Honor or worship the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. So worship God with what you have. Now, this is only one of the ways that we worship, but this is a very important way that we worship God. Remember, they were overjoyed. they were overjoyed, and they opened up their treasures, and they worshiped the Savior. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Worship God with your wealth, and then you will be blessed beyond measure. Worship Him with the first fruits of your wealth. And some of you are going, well, what are the first fruits? And maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've been in church. We just assume all the time that people know what we're talking about. But what does that mean here, first fruits? Well, it goes back to a principle that's taught in the book of Malachi. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, giving and tithing, that's all just Old Testament, you know, stuff. And yeah, this first fruits thing comes from a principle taught in Malachi. But Jesus also confirms it in the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. All right? And then it's talked about in Hebrews. And this first fruits thing is what we know today as the tithe. All right? The tithe. Now, if you've ever been in church, and you've been in church because you're here today, and you noticed that we had ushers come forward, and what did we do? We received the tithes and offerings. Do you know what the word tithe means? Tenth. The word tithe simply means a tenth, one tenth. And so the Bible says that we worship God by giving a tenth of what He has given to us and He has trusted us with. And we're to give a tenth of that as an act of worship. And the Bible says in the book of Malachi, and I love this, if you ever want to read it, it's exciting stuff, but it's the only place in Scripture where God says, test me on this, okay, is when He's talking about this. He says, test me on this. And Malachi goes on to say that when we do this, God will open up the heavens, the windows of heaven, and pour out so many blessings that we can't contain it. So why would you want to worship by giving? Because He may very well open the windows of heavens and pour out more blessings than we can contain. And that may or may not be financial, all right? It very well could be in other areas. We are so blessed, so blessed. But that's why we worship the Lord with the first tenth of what He has already given us and entrusted to us. Now, in our mind, that sounds crazy. And I know it sounds crazy. I know that it does, especially when you try to figure this into your budget spreadsheet. All right? I understand that it don't work, and it don't fly, and it don't make sense. Lynette and I have sat down and done our budget before and went, we can't do this, right? But you go back to what Solomon said in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your budget spreadsheet when it comes to God. All right? Honor the Lord with your wealth. And don't miss this. This is so important. The first fruits mean what now? To bring the first. You see what he's saying here? To bring the first 10%, not the last 10% or what's left over, because I'm going to tell you, if you don't do it first, it won't be there at the last. All right? It just won't. It don't work that way. This is a biblical truth and a biblical principle. You do it first, right? And for those who are faithful tithers, you know this, right? Some of you out there nodding your head right now, you're like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, because you know, and God has proven that the 90% that is left over with His blessings is greater than 100% without His blessings, right? And you know that. Some of you know that when we worship God with our tithe and we trust Him with the rest, something supernatural happens that we can't explain. Here's story after story after story. Somebody grabbed me after church this morning, a young couple that I just love and adore, and they began to share with me how God had impressed upon them to start tithing and how God had blessed that and honored that. And it was just a cool story. And it wasn't all about money either, folks. It was about how God blessed their family in lots of different ways. And they said it came back to where we made this decision right here to worship God through giving. And so, I hear stories like that all the time, and it's incredible. Lynette could come up here and tell you stories until tomorrow. I mean, just could. That supernatural things that happen and take place, and we've experienced this over and over again, and some of you have too. And it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. You know why it's the truth? Because it's God's truth. It's not Steve's truth. It's not Lynette's truth. It's God's truth. It's His word. It's His promise. And so because of what I've experienced and what many of you have experienced, we want to tithe. We want to give. We love to tithe because love loves to give. Love loves to give. And while this form of worship, I'll just tell you, I'm getting off of it. All right, everybody relax. Whew. I'm getting off of it. I'm off of it. It's important. All right, it's important, but it's more than just about money. It's more than just about money, but I tell you what, you look at what you do with your money, and it's an indicator of what's in your heart. You look at what you do with your money, and it's an indicator of what's in your heart, and you can't debate that. That's not even something we can argue about. We honor God with our wealth, but the ultimate thing, let's move past that. We're to give our lives. The greatest gift that we have to offer in worship is ourselves. All right? This is what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Don't miss this. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters." And look what he says. "In view of God's mercy." I want you to think about that for a second. Just listen to what Paul's saying. "In view of what God has done for me." Paul says, in view of what He's done for me, in view of what God has done for us, he said, "I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." Not just our wealth. That's a good place to start. That's a great thing to do. But Paul says, our whole lives, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Because where our hearts are, Paul knows, where our hearts are, that's where our money will be. Where our hearts are, that's where our gifts are, and our gifts will go. It's this trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is what Paul's talking about. Doesn't make sense in our minds, but you know what? In all my ways, I will acknowledge Him, and He said He'll make my path straight. Some of you own some pretty crummy paths right now. He says, if you'll acknowledge me, if you will live your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Right? Acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. We honor Him with our first and our best, not leftovers. The boys didn't give me leftovers for my birthday. All right, we honor Him with our first and our best. And then we trust Him to bless the rest, okay? We give Him our first and our best and then trust Him. Craig Groeschel says that a lot. I love that. We trust Him to bless the rest. Because you know what? We're overjoyed at a Savior. God loved you first. God loved first, and He demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. And they traveled so far. They traveled 900 miles, and they were overjoyed to worship the Savior. They were overjoyed to open up their treasures, to kneel before Him, and to worship Him. We love because He first loved us, folks. Let me pray for you. God, my prayer has been for some time now, and I just want to continue to pray today that you would stir our hearts. I pray that you would do a work in our hearts today that only you can do. And God, I pray that today we've talked about giving, and I just pray that giving wouldn't be something that, you know, just something that we do, but it would be a reflection of what you've done for us. And I'm not just talking about what even what we drop in the offering plate or what we bring into the storehouse. Your word says to bring it to the storehouse. But God, our lives should be generous with everybody that we come in contact with. We should be the most generous people because we're to be a reflection of what you've done for us. I pray that we would be generous because of how generous you've been to us. And I pray that as we give, that it would be out of a heart of worship. I pray that you would stir our hearts with joy today. Thank you for that reminder today of why we should be joyful. God, that we would be overjoyed with worship for what you did by sending your Son, by saving us from our sins, by saving us from ourselves. God, I pray that we would understand better today what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do. And because of that, we would be overjoyed and we would properly worship you with great joy. You have blessed us so much. And so we're celebrating how you loved us and how you gave to us this Christmas season. It's what it's all about. We're celebrating that, how much you loved us and what you gave. And so I pray today that our worship would truly be a reflection of our joy. Before we go this morning, you know, we talked a lot about giving. And some of you are not giving because you've never given yourself. The most important thing that we have to give is our lives. And I just wonder if there would be anybody here today that would say, you know, Steve, that's me, and God's been speaking to my heart about giving my life to Him, a life that's pleasing to Him. And I just want to do that today. Would there be someone here today that just lift your hand and say, Steve, that's me. I can't get to this other stuff until I give my life. I see that hand back there in the back. Anybody else? Any other hands this morning? You just raise your hand and say, you know, God's been working on me, and I can't get to the good stuff until I totally commit my life to Him. Is there anybody else? God, I thank you for this one that raised their hand today. I pray today would be a day of freedom. Today would be a day of victory. I pray that today would be a day that they would come not only before you, but go to some other people and make public and known what they've done. God, we thank you for your saving grace. I thank you that you continue to move upon people's hearts. You continue to change lives. I thank you for doing that so faithfully in our church and through the ministry of our people in our church, and we praise you for that. And because of this decision that was made today, it's awesome to think about all of heaven rejoicing and the angels joining in as well as one person surrenders their life to you. And so I pray that we would be encouragers and we would come alongside and help be a part of their walk now. God, we're going to celebrate now through the sacrament of baptism others that have made a decision to place their life, their faith, their trust in you. And so we celebrate that with them today as we celebrate your love for us. May you forever find us faithful and obedient to worship you the way that you've called and created us to worship you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.